All right, welcome to another deep dive. Looks like we got a stack of info here all about federal income tax.
Lots of questions coming in about this one.
Yeah, and particularly about this website, originalintent.org.
Definitely seems like people are ready to get a better handle on how taxes work, what their rights and responsibilities are.
That's right, especially right here, in their own communities. So let's dive in and see if we can untangle some of these complex issues.
Sounds good.
So first things first, this Original Intent website, they have some interesting takes on what income tax actually means. They're saying it's not just one single tax, but more like an umbrella term covering a bunch of different types of revenue.
Yeah, they make a good point. It can be misleading, that term, income tax.
Right. It makes you think it's just one thing, but it's not.
Exactly. Like, they use import duties as an example. Those are a form of revenue for the government, obviously,
Oh.
but they're totally separate from the income tax that we usually think about, the one on our earnings.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Okay, so there are different types of taxes out there, not all created equal. Makes sense. But then it gets even more complicated, right? This Original Intent site points out this really interesting thing about the Internal Revenue Code, the IRC, the giant rule book for all things tax. Well, it's divided into these sections they call subtitles. And Subtitle A is what they label income tax. Okay, that makes sense.
You think so, right?
But then Subtitle C is labeled employment tax. So what's going on there? What's the difference?
It is a weird one, isn't it? And they point that out too. Like, why are we having taxes withheld from our paychecks all year long under Subtitle C, but then when we file our taxes in April, we're using a Subtitle A form, the 1040?
Yeah, you'd think it would all be under the same subtitle if it's all just income tax.
Right. It seems like even a lot of tax professionals might not totally get this difference.
Oh, wow. Okay. So maybe we're actually paying two separate taxes, but they're lumped together under this big income tax umbrella.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
It's confusing. All right. And then Original Intent throws out this even bolder claim. They say that the Internal Revenue Code, this whole thing, it doesn't actually apply to everyone, only to taxpayers.
Well, that's what they say.
But hold on.
Yeah, then they go on to define a taxpayer as any person subject to any internal revenue tax.
Okay, so how do we know if we're really subject to a specific tax or not?
Right, and that seems to be the key question. It all comes down to context, according to them, and what they call jurisdictional limits.
Okay, so basically where we live, what we do, those kinds of things.
Could be. They break it down like this. Based on the U.S. Constitution, there are two main categories of taxation: direct and indirect taxes.
Okay.
And their claim is that direct taxes are the only ones that apply to income earned from labor. And right now, the only direct tax that's in effect is the one that might be authorized by the 16th
The
Amendment.
16th Amendment, that's the one that was added to the Constitution back in 1913, right?
Yeah, 1913. And basically, it gave Congress the power to tax income without having to apportion it among the states based on population, which is a whole other thing.
Wait, it's a rabbit hole.
It is. But basically, it paved the way for the whole federal income tax system we have today.
Right. Okay, so the 16th Amendment allows for a direct tax on income. How does that apply to the average person, someone working a regular 9-to-5? Is that where these Subtitle C taxes come in?
Well, here's where it gets interesting. The source says that the 16th Amendment tax really only applies to very specific types of income, like dividends from corporate stock.
Huh.
They're arguing that it doesn't actually apply to the wages most of us earn from just working a job.
So hold on. If the 16th Amendment doesn't apply to most people's wages, then what are we paying when we see those deductions in our paychecks every month?
That's where the indirect taxes come in. Original Intent is saying that most income taxes aren't considered direct under that 16th Amendment. So they fall into this category of excise tax, which they define as a tax on, well, a specific event, a privilege, or an activity.
Excise tax. So it's not a direct tax on our income, but rather a tax on what exactly?
Well, that's where the concept of privilege comes into play.
Okay.
They're saying a privilege is any activity that requires permission from the government or specific ID numbers to do it, like a social security number or a taxpayer identification number.
So, like, driving would be a privilege.
I think so, yeah. You need a license from the state to operate a vehicle on public roads.
Okay, it makes sense. Or getting a license to practice as a doctor or a lawyer, or even just working for certain types of companies.
Possibly, yeah. Anything where you need to get permission from the government or you need a specific ID number to do it.
So the argument is that if you're doing something that's considered a privilege and you have the necessary permissions or those ID numbers, you might be liable for this excise tax. Okay. So we're starting to see a distinction here between different types of income and how they might be taxed. We've got direct taxes, indirect taxes, excise taxes, privileges. Man, it's a lot to keep track of.
It is. It is. And this is just the beginning.
I know, right? We're just scratching the surface here. What else did you find that stood out in these original intent excerpts?
Well, it gets really interesting when they start talking about Social Security numbers. They claim that by giving your Social Security number or other ID numbers when you're asked for it, you might be unintentionally making yourself liable for taxes, even if you're not actually required to pay them.
Wait, are you saying we don't always have to give out our Social Security number?
That's what they're discussing, yeah.
That's kind of a radical idea. I mean, everybody asks for it. Banks, employers, I swear even the grocery store asks for it sometimes.
It is a pretty bold claim, but they back it up. They reference a specific section of the tax code, 26 CFR 301.6109-1C, and that section states that if someone asks for your ID number, it's a request, not a demand.
Oh, interesting.
And if you believe you're not liable for a specific tax, you have the right to refuse to give your Social Security number.
Wow. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Most people just hand it over without thinking. So according to original intent, we actually have a choice.
That's what they're saying, yeah.
And that's a pretty important point.
It is. They argue it's ultimately our responsibility to figure out our own tax liability.
Mm.
We shouldn't just blindly accept what we're told by, you know, employers or tax professionals or even the IRS. We need to understand how this all works.
Right, right. We have to know the rules of the game so we can play it right.
Exactly. Be prepared to advocate for yourself.
Okay, this is definitely making me think twice about how freely I give up my Social Security number. But wouldn't refusing to give it cause a lot of problems? I mean, could you even open a bank account these days without one?
Well, that's a great question. And I'm sure in practice, things are never quite so black and white. I mean, plenty of businesses might not know all the ins and outs of the tax code. And if you refuse to give your Social Security number, it could make things complicated.
Yeah. But original intent's point seems to be that simply knowing our rights gives us more power to handle these situations.
Makes sense. All right. Well, this is fascinating stuff. There's so much more to this whole income tax thing than I ever realized.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
We've gone from different types of taxes to the truth about Social Security numbers.
It's a lot.
And I'm sure there's a lot more to unpack.
Definitely.
So where do we go from here?
It's like realizing that we can actually do something about this stuff.
Right, right. Okay, so all these legal details, they actually matter.
They do. Yeah. And even small steps can make a difference.
Right.
Like questioning why you need to give your Social Security number or understanding the different types of taxes you might be paying, you know?
So it's about being informed. That makes sense. But let's tie this back to the Think and Act Locally idea. How does all this high-level tax code stuff actually translate the things we can do in our own communities?
I think it starts with awareness, honestly. The more people in a community who understand these concepts, the more they can push for change together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if a bunch of people started asking, why do you need my Social Security number? Or, hey, what kind of taxes am I actually liable for?
Oh, interesting. So it could create a ripple effect?
Exactly. Original intent says it's our job to understand this stuff and then to teach others about it.
So we can start conversations with our friends and families.
Yeah. Share resources, like this original intent website.
Okay.
Maybe even join local groups that focus on tax education.
I like it. A grassroots movement for tax awareness.
Okay, but what about businesses? Earlier, we were talking about how they might ask for Social Security numbers just out of habit or because they're afraid of messing up. Not because they're trying to be shady.
Right.
So how do we approach those conversations with them in a way that's helpful, especially when those businesses are part of our community?
I think it has to be about open communication and education. Like, instead of accusing them of doing something wrong, we can just share the information with them. Explain what we've learned about the tax code, you know, the potential risks of just following old advice without really thinking about it.
And we can even point them to resources, right? Stuff that can help them understand their rights as business owners.
Exactly.
So building bridges instead of burning them.
I like that.
Yeah, it feels better. We can work with our local businesses to make things more fair for everyone. Speaking of fairness, though, this whole SSN trap idea that original intent talks about, that raises some big questions.
It does.
They're saying that just by giving our Social Security number, we might be agreeing to be treated as a taxpayer, even if what we're doing isn't actually taxable.
Yeah. They point out that people might end up being held liable for taxes they don't actually owe, just because they didn't understand what it meant to give out their Social Security number.
But isn't giving out your Social Security number pretty much unavoidable these days? How can you function without it?
It's tough. They do acknowledge that refusing to provide it could cause problems in some situations.
Yeah.
But their main point is that just being aware of this SSN trap helps us make better choices.
Okay, so weigh the risks and benefits, understand what might happen, and maybe even push back when it feels necessary.
Exactly. It's about realizing we do have a choice and that our Social Security number isn't just a random ID number. It has real legal power.
Okay, I'm definitely going to be thinking more carefully about that from now on. But let's move on to those information returns, the 1099s, W-2s, that kind of thing. Original Intent says these forms are like presumptive evidence that the income you made is taxable, even if it might not actually be. What does that even mean?
It means the burden of proof is on you to show that the income isn't taxable, not on the government to prove that it is.
So it's like you're guilty until proven innocent.
Pretty much, yeah. At least when it comes to taxes.
So if a company sends a 1099 for some work I did, but I believe that income isn't taxable, I have to prove that to the IRS. What if I don't even know how to do that?
That's where it gets tough. And Original Intent argues that this system is stacked against the average person because most people don't have the resources or the knowledge to fight the IRS.
Right. So it's catch-22, right? We might have the right to decide our own tax liability, but as soon as a company files that information return, we're on the defense trying to prove we don't owe anything.
Yeah.
That's pretty intimidating.
Absolutely. And they're pointing out the possibility that people might feel pressured to pay taxes they don't really owe just because it's easier than fighting the IRS.
Okay, so some real downsides to those information returns. But aren't companies required to file them anyway? Don't they have to do it?
Well, Original Intent says companies might have more leeway than we think. Huh? They say the focus should be on whether the payment is actually taxable, not just whether the company is supposed to report it.
So a company shouldn't just automatically file an information return every time.
That's what they're saying. They need to actually think about if that payment is really subject to taxes.
That's a pretty fine distinction.
Yeah.
Do you think most companies even get that?
Good question. Original Intent thinks a lot of companies are working with outdated information, or they're just afraid of getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm. So it goes back to education.
It does.
If we can help companies understand this stuff, maybe we can make the system fairer for everyone. But changing how businesses operate, especially when it comes to taxes, that's a big task.
Huge.
Where do we even start?
It all goes back to that think and act locally approach. We start by talking to those businesses in our own communities.
Okay.
Sharing the info and encouraging them to do things in a more informed way.
So building those relationships.
Yeah.
Working together to create a system that works for everyone. I like that. Feels more like a team effort, not a fight.
Yeah.
But let's be real. Changing something as big as the federal income tax system, that's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
And effort and patience. Yeah. Okay, I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and get to work. But before we launch a full-on tax revolution, let's wrap up our deep dive into this Original Intent stuff with some key takeaways for our listeners. What are the most important things for them to remember as they navigate this crazy world of income tax?
Well, first and foremost, it's crucial to remember that we have more control over this than we might realize.
Okay, yeah.
We're not just helpless victims of the tax code. We can question things, challenge things, and stand up for ourselves.
Knowledge is power. Don't be afraid to do your research and ask for clarification. What else should we keep in mind?
Be aware of that SSN trap.
Right.
Understand that giving your Social Security number can have legal consequences beyond just identifying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Think about whether you're actually required to give it out and whether that matches what you believe about your own tax liability.
So think before you share that number. It's not just a random string of digits. It has real weight when it comes to taxes.
Mm.
What else? What's another important point?
Don't let those information returns scare you. If you get a 1099 or a W-2 and you think the income on it isn't taxable, you have the right to challenge it.
Oh, that's good to know.
Find a professional to help you if you need to.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe is right.
Okay, so knowledge, awareness, and a willingness to stand up for ourselves, those are powerful tools.
They are.
What's our final takeaway for our listeners?
It's about that think and act locally approach again. You know, start having those conversations in your own community.
So we spread the word.
Yeah. Share what we've learned. Find some local organizations that are working on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Work together to make things better.
I like it. Feels more proactive. Less overwhelming.
All right.
So what are some specific things our listeners can do to get this going, to actually put this think and act locally idea into action?
I mean, they could start with those conversations we were talking about.
Wow.
Talk to friends and family, neighbors, anyone who will listen. Share that Original Intent website. Encourage people to do a little digging on their own.
So it's like planting seeds.
Exactly. The more people who know about this, the better.
Makes sense. Even just a casual conversation could get someone thinking. What else? Are there other things people can do to get involved locally?
Oh, absolutely. Look around for groups or organizations in your area that focus on, you know, tax education or maybe tax advocacy.
Mm.
There might be workshops or seminars or even online forums, places you can meet like-minded people and learn from experts.
Oh, that's a good idea. Strength in numbers, right?
Definitely.
Finding a community of people who care about this stuff can be really helpful. What about our elected officials? Should we be talking to them about this?
For sure. Let your representatives know that these are issues you care about.
Mm.
Advocate for a tax code that's easier to understand and enforcement practices that are fair.
And a system that protects taxpayers' rights.
Exactly.
Yeah, make your voice heard. It's our responsibility to engage with our elected officials and make sure they're doing right by us.
Couldn't agree more. And don't underestimate the power of even small actions. Sharing an article online, writing a letter to the newspaper, or even just having a respectful conversation with someone who has a different point of view, all those things can make a difference.
It's about shifting the conversation.
It is. It's about realizing that we all have a part to play in making the system fairer.
Right. It's not about being a tax expert.
Correct.
Or a lawyer. It's about taking action. Even small steps can make a big difference over time.
I think so.
Well, we've covered a lot in this deep dive.
We have.
Explored how complicated the federal income tax system is. Challenged some common assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully given our listeners some new things to think about. Remember, knowledge is power. We can make a difference together.
Absolutely.
And hey, don't forget to check out our show notes for links to the Original Intent website and other resources. That way you can keep learning about all this fascinating stuff.
Great idea.
Keep learning, keep those questions coming, and keep the conversation going. Until next time, happy diving.